Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I am so excited that you have decided to take some time out of your day to listen to the conversation. Today, we are speaking with Melissa, and we're talking about feeling good without feeding your feelings. Welcome, Melissa, to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast.
Thank you, Emily. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, let's get started with you sharing a little bit of your story and what brought you to working in this space.
Yeah, so my journey started about 12 years ago, and I had a newborn baby who was not sleeping, so I was exhausted. And on top of that, we had a two-year-old who had some undiagnosed food allergies and sensory processing disorder. Didn't know about any of that. My husband was traveling for work. So that's all pretty, you know, chaotic and exhausting. And then on top of that, around that time, I had gotten diagnosed with PTSD from childhood trauma. And so that propelled me to kind of look at things and say, okay, what do I want to do going forward? What do I do now that I've gotten this diagnosis? I'm not showing up as the mom I want to be, that my kids need, that they deserve me to be. I'm not being there for my husband. Like, what do I need to do to heal? So met with a naturopath, and she took my vitamin and mineral levels. Everything was really tanked because I was living off of sugar to try to feel good and give myself energy, and started like turning to sweets in my childhood because of the trauma. So that was my coping mechanism. But that took a toll on my body. So really learned about supplementation, the importance of nutrition, holistic health, and it just started me on this journey of healing. And so my story and what happened in my life and in my families is really what led me to go and get certified. And here I am. quick overview for you.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many of our listeners, I'm sure many of them can resonate with the notion of turning to food when you're feeling a feeling. I know for myself, speaking from my own experience, my go-to is chocolate. When I feel sad, I go for the chocolate. When I feel anxious or depressed or whatever, I go for the chocolate. And that is something that stems from my childhood. And if you're not aware, and you are not connected with your body, there's so many words jumbled in my brain. I'm trying to make them sentences. If you're not aware of what's going on, and you're eating because you think you're hungry, but it's actually a feeling. Ooh, boy. So who is it specifically that you are working with?
No, that's a really good question, Emily. I started off as moms, because I wanted to help moms find that freedom that I did and really be able to pass that on to their children. And so my primary clientele has been moms who are overwhelmed and struggling with food and stress eating and all that that entails. But as of the past year, I had a couple of teenage girls that have asked to work with me. And so that's been really fun too. So I'm working now with moms and teenage girls.
So when a mom comes to you, what is it that she's looking for?
That's a really good question. She wants to find freedom from that struggle with food, because I think so many of us struggle with food in some capacity, whether it's not knowing what to eat or how much to eat, or we've been just so enmeshed in diet culture and we think that the only way to get results is to do a diet and a program and to join a CrossFit and to do all of these things. Or maybe it's the woman who feels like she can't feel good without turning to food. Whenever there's that shame or that boredom or that tiredness or that loneliness or even that happiness to celebrate, her go-to is food. So it's really women who want to find freedom from that food struggle and that mental chatter that just takes up so much brain space when they could be thinking about so many things and living such a full life if they didn't have that taking up that brain space.
Yeah. So what is something that, what are some of the, the signs or symptoms that someone who is feeding their emotions may see?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because it's not super easy to recognize. In fact, myself, I shared this with my Facebook group. I had an experience and I was so, what I thought the feeling was stress. And so I went and I started eating this loaf of lemon bread that I had made. And I sat there and I'm totally aware of what I'm doing, Emily. I'm like, I'm sitting here eating the bread because I'm stressed. And I'm like, this isn't making me feel better. This isn't solving my problem. What is really the feeling? And what came up was shame. So it was like that old behavior of turning to food to push down the shame is what came up. So I think people would recognize that they're doing this when they're eating, when they're not hungry. Maybe they are feeling like they always need to eat. Maybe if they feel anxious around, when am I going to eat next? What is my next meal? You know, you find yourself maybe sitting on the couch at the end of a long day eating ice cream in front of the TV mindlessly because you're so exhausted and you just want to take the edge off and you're not even hungry. Like, those are some signs that people could know that, hey, maybe I'm using food to stuff some feelings.
Yeah. Emotion stuffing is something that is so mainstream in our society. We are taught from a very young age to not feel the feelings or not express the feelings because they're uncomfortable, they're big, they're messy, they're whatever, undesirable thing is. So how can we, if we have a history of emotion stuffing and using food to repress our emotions, how can we begin to untangle that web?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I think the first thing is really having a safe space to share your feelings without judgment. Because I think part of it is that we feel judged for how we feel, or we feel judged for verbalizing a feeling because maybe we have a history of getting burnt or getting hurt or something negative has happened around that. So I think it's really having a safe space where you can just share unashamedly without judgment what's on your heart. And if that's not a person for you, if you don't have that, journaling can be a great starting point for that because you can just get all of the feelings out. And if you're not a writer, speak into your phone. Like, just get, I think getting it out and having that safe space is a really foundational piece, because once the feeling is out, you don't feel like you need to push it down.
Yeah. So the key to feeling good without feeding your feelings is to let the feelings out. Would you agree? Like,
oh, totally agree. Because like with my lemon bread example, once I realized, I'm like, this is shame. I feel shame. I put that dang lemon bread away because I'm like, oh my gosh, lemon bread, shame, not even connected, not a thing. But once I could acknowledge the feeling and get it out and text two of my girlfriends. I was like, okay, it was shame. Shame be gone. I'm going to move on my way and be done with lemon bread. But I think it was like not knowing what I was feeling. And then once I identified it, being able to get it out, it loses its grip.
Yeah. Once you feel the feeling and acknowledge the feeling, I have a sticky note here on my desk. It says, feel the feels and keep going. Because I tell myself, you can feel your feelings. You can acknowledge your feelings without sitting down and having a cup of tea with the feelings and letting the feelings completely sideswipe your day.
Totally.
Or your week or your month or
your year.
Your year. So what are some quick things, maybe one or two things that someone who is beginning to acknowledge that they're using food to repress their feelings and they want to begin to mend that, what are some things that they can do? One or two things that they could do on their own.
Yeah, I think two really quick things come to mind, Emily. The first one is to replace judgment with curiosity, because so many times we do this where we're like, oh my gosh, I'm eating the cookies again. This is terrible. I'm bad. I shouldn't be doing this. And we like downward spiral on ourselves. But if we could stop right there and let go of that judgment and just say, why am I eating the cookies? What am I looking for? What do I need? Mm-hmm. And replace that judgment with curiosity. That's super powerful. That's what I did with the lemon bread. It was like, what am I feeling? What's going on here? Why am I eating this lemon bread? So replacing judgment with curiosity. And the second thing is, you might teach people this as well, but it's that 5-5-7 breath, where really you breathe in for 5 seconds, you hold it for 5 seconds, and then you exhale for 7 seconds. And that inhale, the exhale being longer than the inhale and the hold, links the parasympathetic nervous system with the sympathetic nervous system. So the brain and the body kind of get in balance. You kind of calm down. It's great. It's free. If you're a mom, you can do this when your kids are like screaming and throwing a tantrum in front of you and they won't know that you're losing your mind. You just do this 5-5-7 breath to settle yourself. So those are, I think, are two.
You can
really
teach it to your kids.
Totally.
You can teach it to your kids to keep them from losing their mind.
Yes. Yes. And it's also effective at the grocery store, because I find that a lot of people go to the express lane and it calls for 10 items and they have like 30 items. And that just really kind of irritates me. So the 5-5-7 breath is very helpful in other situations as well.
Yeah, doing it as you're driving down the road. Yep. You can do it pretty much anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's something I was going to say. Oh man. My brain is just,
you're good.
Oh man.
Mom brain is real.
It'll come back. I'm sure of it. Probably once we're done recording.
Of course.
So, oh man. Do you have anything else that you would like to add? Because my brain is just not working right now.
No, you're good. Your brain is working. It's just fine. You might be a little tired. I get it. I just want people to know that there's hope. Like, I feel like for so many years, I just felt like I was broken. There was something wrong with me. I tried all the diets. I tried all the plans and nothing ever worked. And it wasn't until I learned how to feel my feelings and not use food to feel good and to stuff them that I found that freedom that I'm looking for. Because I think so many of us just want to be told what to do. We want to be told what to eat and when to eat. And that just negates who we are and how we're made. And we need to realize that our like individuality is in here and nobody can tell us what to do. We're our own best experts. We maybe just need somebody to help us realize how to tap into that. And so I just want people to know that there's hope and that they can overcome hard things. And if you do turn to food for comfort or to feel good, like I did, you can be free.
Yeah, it's okay. And you totally can choose a different path. It it served you for a certain time. And you can shift. That's okay. I also want to note that the foods that you tend to gravitate towards for cravings may also indicate a nutritional deficiency. I know chocolate is linked to magnesium. So there may be something to your craving. It may not just be a craving. And I tell my clients that we're not doing the activities and increasing your self-awareness so that you can beat yourself up and judge yourself. We are doing it out of curiosity, because we've been taught and trained that our feelings are incorrect and we don't know ourselves, when in fact, we were created with everything that we need within ourselves to live a happy and joyful and fulfilled life. Sometimes we need help connecting to those. And trauma just kind of buries all of those pieces of intuition, because you're in survival and all kinds of stuff. So it's a journey of reconnecting with yourself.
Totally. Or even connecting, because some of us weren't taught. I mean, like, this whole concept of like having feelings show up in my body, I was like, what? Like, how do you even become aware of that? And so our daughter's 14 and she has a habit she wants to change. I'm like, okay, so if you can identify what happens in your body before you do this, that's going to be your way that you kind of identify, like, this is where I start to feel this way and this is where I need to pivot, instead of acknowledging it afterwards and being like, what happened? Like, if you can catch it before and become aware of what's happening in your body, where things are at, I think that's really helpful. But we're not taught that.
No. It's all very new, and it's not, at this point that I'm aware of, widespread knowledge. So get curious, friends. Get curious. Get to know yourself. And it's not selfish to get to know yourself. So if anybody says you're being selfish, they are a crab in a bucket, and you just need to bless and release.
Amen.
Where can people connect with you? If they're like, I need to talk to Melissa.
Yeah. My website is free. B2coaching.com. So freetobecoaching.com.
Awesome. So I will include a link to Melissa's Instagram and her website so that you can follow her on social media. And then if you would like to check out her website, I'm sure she has resources and all kinds of goodies over on her website. Yeah, that is our podcast episode for today, friends. Quick and to the point, no beating around the bush today.
We're busy moms. We have to do it.
if you resonated, enjoyed what you heard, hit the subscribe button on whichever platform you're listening, and come find the Mamahood After Trauma podcast on Instagram. And so that you are in the loop, and know what is going on. Thank you so much for joining me today, Melissa. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. And we will talk soon.
Thank you for having me. It was great to be here.